Let the rhythm hit 'em.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Back on Lanch J Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 141. Sports talk and entertainment excellence. I'm really in my bag today with the music. Rampage would be proud of me. It's a little bit of Eric B. and Rakim, Let the Rhythm Hit 'Em. I remember listening to this song on Power 99 when we lived in New Jersey. We lived in Trenton, so I could pick up all of the Philly and New York stations. And I would listen to all of... My parents wouldn't let me have hip-hop cassettes at the time. A lot of them had the parental advisory on there. So my cousin Steve would make mixtapes because he was a little bit less supervised and was able to get his hands on some music that I couldn't. And then I would listen to Power 99 and I would listen to WBLS. I could pick that up on weekends out of New York City. And Eric B., we were talking about brilliant people in the previous segment. Eric B. was way up there. This is 1988, man. I'm listening to this. This is 1988. And him and Rakim were really, really far ahead of their time when it came to the music. You're just talking about pure talent. And Rakim was clean. I think the thing about Rakim that people love, he was clean. You could play his stuff on the radio. He didn't swear. He was kind of underground, not necessarily the mainstream. You know, he wasn't like LL Cool J. He wasn't like the Beastie Boys. He wasn't like Run DMC. But Rakim had bars, and he didn't swear, so you could play his stuff on the radio, man. And I used to listen. I'd stay up late listening to Power 99, listening to Rakim, and listening to Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. And then you get into the Philly people, the Hilltop Hustlers, Steady B. Steady B's doing life in prison, unfortunately. EST, the greatest man alive. Schoolie D. You talk about all the dudes from Philly that were rocking the mic and putting in that work. This is going to be a best of segment since we reached the 1,000th episode plateau, and I'm so appreciative of our platform on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Howard University Radio Network, which Howard University really personifies as kind of the leader, in my opinion. When you think HBCU, you think Howard University. I went to the Oakwood University in Huntsville, Alabama. So I went to an HBCU, and I talk on the show a lot about A Different World. It's kind of my favorite TV show over the years that I just binge watch over and over again. You get into season 4 with the whole Keanu, Whitley, and Dwayne thing. It's still just as entertaining now as it was 30 years ago. And I believe there's a reboot. I'm hearing on the streets that there's a reboot where Whitley and Dwayne's daughter will be attending him. And that's going to be interesting. I wonder who's going to come out for that. I wonder if they're going to bring back Don Lewis. I don't think Don Lewis has done anything since Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I don't think Daryl Bell, who played Ron. Maybe Ron is still there in his 60s hitting on kids at Oakwood. It's going to be very interesting how that goes. And I don't think it's going to be a comedy with a laugh track. I think that this is actually going to be, I think it's going to be more like the Bel Air, the reboot of Fresh Prince. So maybe it'll be on Netflix and people will be cursing. There'll be actual sex scenes. I don't know what's going on. But that's going to be interesting. A Different World 2.0. But as I was saying, as a part of the Lanch Day 1K series, we're going to air periodically some of the great interviews and some of my rants over the years. This is a monologue from several years ago. I talk a lot on this show about just relationships and how you deal with people. As an entrepreneur, you have to bring a certain energy into how you manage your business. You have to protect your energy in your interactions with your family and your friends. And this is a real important rant I was going through. This is after my mother passed away and my grandfather passed away, really the two most important people in my entire life. And I was really searching. I was going through a lot of therapy. I was dealing with a lot and just learning how to cope, but then understand that you have to have balanced relationships. You have to demand respect from people. And I think losing two people who really loved me and poured into me unconditionally, it made me realize how much of a void and how much of a gap I had in some of my other relationships. And it was time for me to move on from some of those relationships.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Everyone listening to me, look at your circle of friends. Think about the 5 or 10 people that you talk to the most, people that you text the most, people that you talk to on the phone the most, people that you see the most day to day. And I'm not talking about business, because business is business. You may hate that MF-er in the office next door to you, but you got to feed your family. So you got to figure out how to have a good relationship with him or her and have coffee once a quarter and talk about business. I'm talking about your friends. I'm talking about people that you voluntarily give your time, your energy, your power, your support, your affirmation, your love to. Think about your friends. Picture those 5 to 10 people and then ask yourself, am I the smartest person in this group? Am I the most educated person in this group? Do I make the best decisions? Meaning that if I made good decisions raising my children, if I made good decisions on finding a life partner, have I made good decisions in career? Have I made good decisions the way that I treat people? Have I made good financial decisions? Do they have money in their 401k? Are they living off their parents? Do they have a good credit score? Have I made good health decisions? Think about, do those people, picture those people, do they have the same work ethic that you have? Are they willing to grind it out and hustle? Or are they waiting for a handout? Are they waiting for someone to show them a sense, the sense of entitlement that they have? Are they willing to grind? Do they have dreams? Do they have aspirations? Do those people come from families that represent the same values that you have? Not to say better or worse, but if their family is a bunch of crackheads and your family is a bunch of heads of state people, do you necessarily have the same value system? And then finally, think of these same people. Are these individuals that really support you? Do they really love you? Do they really support you? Do they believe when you go to your friends, these 5 to 10 people, and you say, hey, I want to open up a new business? Or, hey, I want to go back to school because I want to be a lawyer. Or, hey, my kids are going to the best private school and I'm going to get them in there come hell or high water. Do those people support your dreams? Or do they actually detract? They say, oh, no, I don't know if you can get into that school. It's a little late for you to want to turn back and go to med school. You want to open up that business? I don't know about that. I think that you should play it safe. And if you're going through these names in your head and you find out that you're the smartest person in your circle and you're the wealthiest person in your circle and you're the hardest working person in your circle and you're the one that makes good decisions, has a good marriage and loves their kids and your friends are always embroiled in drama and angry and bitter, chasing the wrong people, shallow, only hang out with people that you think are popular, only associate with individuals because you think that it will create the illusion that you are more important than you are, more powerful than you are, then you need to get as far away from that circle as possible. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. I've recently elevated my circle. And I'm going to share, I spent many years, one of the things about going to an HBCU, these schools are very small. It's almost like a family-like environment. And so you go there, you're 19, 20, you're growing and developing. You fall into these categories that you were in 20 years ago. And we all had our stages of awkwardness, or we were focused on whatever. Some of us in school, we were really great leaders and focused on student government, stuff like that. Some of us were trapping out. Some of us were always high or drunk. Some of us were having a lot of sex in college, goofing off. Some of you were like me, you were a singer and you're always traveling and singing. Some people were about those grades. I went to college with some people, some of my friends. We got to college, they're like, hey man, I don't got time to goof off. I don't have time to be playing on intramurals basketball. I'm going to be an anesthesiologist. I'm in the lab studying. But we often address and fall into those categories in the HBCU world because it's such a small community. So you go to Ohio State, you go to Ann Arbor Community College, you go to Stanford, you go to Duke, you go to Ivy League, you go to UCLA, you go to Alabama, you go to Texas. Nobody cares about that. Nobody's thinking about who you are. These schools have 50,000 people. They don't know you. Nobody recognizes you. Nobody remembers if it means that you drove a turquoise Mazda Protege when you were in college. Nobody cares about that. But these small HBCUs, people care. People remember you. They'll categorize you based on how popular they thought you were back then. They'll try to project those things on you. And I spent a lot of my adult life trying to impress people. People that I went to college with, went to high school with, grew up with back in Ohio. To prove to those people that I was good enough and I was successful enough and I was smart enough and I was a good enough friend and I was loyal enough. And the truth of the matter is I realized over the years that those people, I use this phrase a lot, they wouldn't urinate on me if I was on fire because they had already made up their mind about me. They made up their mind about me back in 1998, 1999. They had made up their mind that I was good enough to be on the periphery of the inner circle. I was even good enough to be in the inner circle if I provided a need to them and affirmed them and loved them and cherished them and supported them. But they weren't going to give me no affirmation because I wasn't worth it. I wasn't popular enough. I wasn't good looking enough. I wasn't thin enough. I wasn't rich enough. And it dawned on me, I looked at my circle and I said, you know, a lot of people I've been chasing, they're not doing better than me. They haven't made better decisions than me. They're not more loyal than me. What do they have to offer me? And so I asked myself, back to that visualization, think of those 10 people. I realized that a lot of those people, they were actually draining me. They were taking from me, but they weren't replenishing. And so instead of throwing a tantrum, I didn't go on Facebook or Instagram, have some long rant. I didn't name people. I didn't blow people up personally. I didn't gossip about people. I didn't go on a negative campaign against people. I stopped taking their calls. People that didn't believe in my dreams, people that would not pour into me. When I stopped giving those people my energy, they were blown away. And I found out there were people around the corner, a mile long, standing in line that wanted to be a part of my life and appreciate what I brought to the table and wanted to love on me and wanted to pour into me and wanted to mentor me and wanted to support me and wanted to affirm me. And I'm telling those that are listening, think of those 10 people. If 7 of those people are rats and won't affirm you because they're out chasing somebody else for Instagram likes, move your business elsewhere and you'll be a much happier and well-rounded person.
That's the end. What you want me to do? Damn.
You are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.